God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks today on the subject of suffering. I've written a book called A Path Through Suffering, which you or someone you know who is suffering might find helpful. I would hope so. And while I was preparing these talks, I had just finished reading a book by Olive Fleming Liefeld, L-I-E-F-E-L-D, written by one of the other five widows from Ecuador. Olive was my good friend when we were missionaries back in the 1950s, and her husband Pete was one of the five men who was killed along with my husband Jim Elliott when Alca Indians killed five missionaries because they thought they were cannibals. And Olive's book is entitled Unfolding Destinies. It is the story of her husband, Pete Fleming, and of the Alca Indians. And she's very frank, Olive is, about the pain and the bewilderment and the anger and the frustration of what I would certainly call a very rocky courtship. Pete and Olive had known each other since they were children in Seattle. They went to the same church, and it was quite a long story about how they finally did become engaged and then had a very brief marriage during which Olive had two miscarriages, many disappointed hopes, unexpected demands on her time as a new missionary when she was struggling very hard to learn Spanish and having to be entertaining other people at the same time with inconveniences and interruptions. And she had some real misgivings about Pete's going into that savage territory where Operation Alca was conducted. And then, of course, along with the rest of us, she experienced the death of her husband, Pete. This is all told in Olive Fleming Liefeld's book, Unfolding Destinies. And I remember when the Air Force rescue squad that came from Panama to try to find our husbands took us five widows in a big plane over the territory where the men had died, the little sand strip on the Cotoray beach. As we circled that river where the bodies of the men had all been found, I vividly remember Olive opening her Bible and saying that just that morning, the Lord had given her this verse from 2 Corinthians 5:5. He that hath prepared us for this very thing is God. I think any of you who have been bereaved, although you would probably agree with me, none of us ever really feels ready for something like this when we come. When we get a little bit of perspective and begin to look back, we realize that in ways unimagined and undiscerned, God does, in fact, prepare us for disasters. And although this verse is taken out of context, it meant a great deal to us then. And in the translation that I have in 2 Corinthians 5:5, the word is, God Himself has shaped us for this very end. God's always in the business of preparing us and shaping us for whatever tomorrow may bring forth. Jesus presents us with a new perspective on suffering in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Old Testament, of course, suffering was seen as evil, an unmitigated evil. It must have been something of a shock, I would think, to the crowds that Jesus was talking to there on the mountain when he began to say to them things like this, "How happy are those of a gentle spirit," or "Blessed are the meek. They shall have the earth for their possession. How blessed are those who have suffered persecution for the cause of right. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. How happy are you when you suffer insults and persecutions and every kind of calumny for my sake? Accept it with gladness and exultation, for you have a rich reward in heaven. Any of you been insulted lately? Stepped on? Passed over? Were you happy about that? Well, as I say, I think it must have been a shock to the crowds, and it comes as a shock to us again and again, no matter how often we may read those words, to realize that Jesus was presenting a different perspective on things. The things that the world despises are things about which Christians are supposed to rejoice. Well, I don't mean ever on this program, and I'm sure some of you feel that I do, but I don't ever mean to throw the Bible at you. You know, Elizabeth Elliot really doesn't have any authority of any sort except the Bible. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a professional counselor. I'm just a Christian, a woman who is seeking to do the will of God and wanting to help other people to love Him and to trust Him too. And the best way I know to do that is to speak to you from the Scriptures themselves and to give you principles which are not mystical, but they are solid, tested, proved reality. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And there is no other way to understand life. I don't know any other way to begin to understand suffering, except in terms of another kingdom. This world is not finished yet. Our sufferings are going to be over, but it's not over yet. We live in a fallen, a distorted, twisted world, don't we? And we're not going to understand our sufferings in terms of this world. We can only understand them in terms of an invisible world. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, each chapter in my book, A Path Through Suffering, opens with a quotation from one of Lilias Trotter's books, Parables of the Cross and Parables of the Christ Life. She says this, "Botanists say that across the leaf stalk there forms in autumn a layer of thin-walled cells termed the layer of separation. These press and tear the older cells apart and become disintegrated in their turn till without an effort the leaf detaches with a severance clean and sharp as though made by a knife. The plant sentences the leaf to death, and the winds of God carry out the sentence." That's the end of her quotation. But you've picked up a beautiful leaf that's fallen in the fall, haven't you? Have you noticed how clean and sharp the cut is on the end of the stem? It's just as if it were cut with a knife. We need to look at our sufferings in terms of another world. Sever our thinking from the old life, the old ways of understanding things, the threadbare reasonings. There's got to be a radical break. Death to the leaf, death to our old life. And the wall of separation, analogous to that wall that botanists describe in the stem of the leaf, is the cross. The cross is what separates our old life from our new. The cross means death, of course. It's a symbol of torture and suffering and death. We read in Romans 6:6-7, "We know that the man we once were has been crucified with Christ for the destruction of the sinful self, so that we may no longer be the slaves of sin, since a dead man is no longer answerable for his sin." There's the scriptural proof of this wall of separation, this barrier, which is the cross. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? It's a gift. It's a free gift. Doesn't it just blow your mind? Isn't it just amazing to think that the Lord of the universe, the one who is the ruler over all authorities and the supreme head over all powers, and I'm not making that up, that's from Colossians 2:10, the blessed controller of all things, the king over all kings, and the master of all masters, the only source of immortality, the one who lives in unapproachable light, the one whom no mortal eye has ever seen or ever can see, and that's from 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16. Isn't it amazing that the same one who bends his ear to the prayer of a child or of a sinner of any age, and if asked, comes in and makes his home with us? He is the source of immortality, King of kings, Master of masters. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now, how can he be at home with us unless our lives are in harmony with his holy life? Unless he lives his very life in us and we live our lives in company with him. Salvation means rescue from the pit of destruction, from the miry clay of ourselves. I hope you'll think about these scriptures. I hope you will present your body to him. Give him your life, all that you are, all that you have, all that you do, and all that you suffer. And you can do that once for all. But then that decision must be affirmed in hundreds of ways, in the small things, inconveniences, broken promises of others. How do you respond? Disappointments. Do you complain? An unselfish giving up of your preferences. Do you hesitate over that? The graceful yielding of your wishes to your husband, your children, your wife, your friend. These are all little deaths. They are sufferings too, aren't they? And if we don't respond to God in the little things, I don't know what we're going to do when the big thing comes along.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.